Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're continuing our study through the book of Ephesians. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin and you'll see the passage of scripture that we're going to be talking about. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness." Today we're going to talk about being transformed by Jesus. In his book, When I Relax, I Feel Guilty, by Tim Hansel, he writes some insights of what most people want from God. "I would like to buy $3 worth of God. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please." Scott Chambers says of this, "If we would be totally honest, the idea of transformation really scares us. That is because we know that such a radical change would be quite uncomfortable. We realize that with transformation comes a major overhaul of our lives and priorities." Now, I want us to understand, as we look at this passage, I am struck once again by the fact that a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ involves a radical change of our entire being. Now, this transformation is both immediate and ongoing in our life as a disciple of Christ. When we trust Jesus as our Savior and Lord, he immediately changes our mind by enlightening us to the truth about the world, and sin, and our condition. Now, understand, when you see for the first time Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the one who died on the cross for your sins, as the one who rose again from the dead to give you eternal life, and you ask him for forgiveness of those sins, and he comes into your heart and is your Lord and Savior, a transformation begins. And some immediate transformation starts. You begin to see the world through a different set of glasses. You begin to see wrong and right in a different way. You begin to see clearly how sin affects your life and how it affects the world around you. That's what happens when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. He starts enlightening you to the truth, and you become more receptive to His will in your life. Our heart becomes receptive to His will in our lives. And the result is some immediate adjustments to the way we live. But the transformation does not end there. As a matter of fact, that is only the beginning of an ongoing process, ongoing transformation process in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, after this passage that we just read, basically the rest of the book of Ephesians is a significant list of character traits that will transform us into the people Jesus wants us to be. So what the Apostle Paul is doing is he is preparing us to embrace this transformation by describing our relationship with Jesus. So in this passage, he is preparing us to embrace our transformation by describing how our relationship with Jesus transforms us. And this is going to give us the truths that we need to help us accept the character traits, the new character traits that Jesus wants us to have. Okay? So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can be transformed, or how we are transformed by Jesus. Let's look at verses 17 through 19 again. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Now, the first thing I want us to understand is we are transformed because Jesus delivered us from a destitute state. We are transformed because Jesus has delivered us from a destitute state. In embracing our transformation, we must keep in mind our condition before we had Jesus Christ in our lives. I want you to notice the characteristics here. It's important that we remember what our state was before we accepted Christ in our lives, so that we will want to avoid those things that were so miserable in our lives in the past. You know, I stay away from eating certain foods late at night now because I remember the condition they put me in when I ate them. So there's no more eating a big bowl of ice cream at 9:30 at night for me, because if I do, I'm up all night with a big tummy ache. So I don't do that. So we got to remember sometimes the condition that we were in times past, so that we will be willing to embrace our new way of life. Look at our condition before Jesus transformed us. First of all, our minds were filled with useless thoughts and lacked the ability to perceive truth. Notice what it says. As we walk like the rest of the Gentiles walked, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened. Now, understand, when you're away from Jesus, when you don't have this relationship with Jesus, of knowing him in his as your Savior, as your Lord, knowing that he has forgiven you of your sins and that you have eternal life, you lack the ability to even think vital thoughts, real important thoughts, thoughts that matter, things that really matter in life, eternal thoughts, eternal things. We only think about the temporary things, the futile things in life, the useless thoughts. We get absorbed with thinking about football or something else like that. Now, I like thinking about football, but I understand that those things aren't real important thoughts. Now, not only that, we used to lack the ability to perceive truth. You know, what is really true and what is a lie? Some people, before they accept Christ as their Savior, they accept the lie of evolution instead of accepting the truth of creation. Why do they do that? Because their minds are darkened. Their minds are darkened to the truth. So not only that, we were separated from experiencing a personal relationship with God. So when you're separated from experiencing a personal relationship with God, it's an awful condition to be in. One of the judgments that come from God when we resist Him is He lets us go. He walks away from us. He leaves us. And so that leaves us in an awful condition. We were created to be with God, not to be separated from Him. And then our hearts were hardened to the point of moral insensitivity. Our hearts were hardened to the point of moral insensitivity. Look what it says. It says, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. Because of the hardness of their mind and their heart, and because of their mind and heart conditions, we gave our bodies over to sinful living. Can you go in there and just adjust me a little bit where I'm not ringing? Thank you. Okay. And so because of our mind and our heart condition, we gave our bodies over to sinful living. Now, I want you to notice that our entire being, our mind, body, and spirit are addressed here. Our entire being is addressed. A genuine relationship with Jesus is going to involve a transformation, that's good, of our entire being. Okay? Our body, our mind, and our spirit. It's going to involve an entire transformation. This is something that we need to see. So how are when we experience a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, it changes the way we think in our mind. It changes how we feel in our spirit, in our heart, and it affects the way we live. Charlene Cothran is the publisher of Venus Magazine, which is a periodical for lesbians of African descent. She recently announced on the magazine's website that she has become a Christian and has rejected the lesbian lifestyle she had been living. Cothran said that as a magazine publisher, she has had the opportunity to address thousands of people publicly, influencing homosexuals to come out of the closet. Now, she says, she must come out of the closet again. She said, the Spirit of God spoke directly into my soul and said, you choose this day who you will serve. And if you make the wrong choice, I will allow you to drift so far away from me that you will never hear my voice again. I gave God my heart and soul in the parking lot of the mall, right there in my car. A river of tears flowed as Jesus washed me and forgave me and redeemed me for His work. Cothran will continue her work in the homosexual community, but she has changed her mission. She said, I intend to be just as out about my transformation as I was about my lesbian lifestyle. I have given every gift I have back to God, including Venus Magazine. The target audience will remain the same, but the mission has been renewed. Our new mission is to encourage, educate, and assist those in the homosexual life who want to change but can't find a way out. I want you to notice what has happened in the life of Charlene. I want you to see how her mind was enlightened to the truth about sin, judgment, and righteousness. How her heart had been softened by the forgiveness she experienced by knowing God. Her actions in her body changed to conform to the will of God for her life. There was a total transformation because Jesus came into her life. This is what Jesus does for all who trust in Him as their Lord and Savior. He delivered us from a destitute state. Are you in that destitute state? Have you not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you not experienced that wonderful joy and peace that floods your soul when you know your sins have been forgiven and washed away, and that if you were to die right now, you would go to heaven? That is what Jesus wants for you and has paid for. He has paid the price for your sins to be forgiven and for you to have eternal life. And you can begin a transformation process in your life if you will accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, let's embrace the transformation process that Jesus has for us, because He has delivered us from a destitute state. Please, let's remember the state that Jesus has saved us from. Now, let's look at verse 20 and 21. It says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus." Now, secondly, we are transformed because Jesus reveals truth to us. Jesus reveals truth to us. When we are in a personal relationship with Jesus, He reveals His truth to us by schooling us. He schools us. You know, when you're on the basketball court and someone is doing all his moves and he's beating you in basketball, you learn his moves and he schools you. When he scores and runs past you, that's one of the phrases it's used for. But you learn. One of the things that helped me get better at playing basketball was playing with guys that knew a lot about basketball. And so, because you can learn by interacting with them. Well, that's kind of the principle here. When we're with Jesus, when we're with Him, when we're interacting with Jesus, we learn from Him. We learn from Him. Notice the phrase learn and taught. Notice the phrases learn and taught. So we learn from Him and we are taught by Him. How do we learn and be taught by Him? By hearing Him, it says. Look what it says. It says, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus." Okay, so you hear Him. How do you hear the Lord? How do you hear the Lord? Well, in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. So there's this personal interaction. When you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are one of His sheep, and you will recognize His voice. Brian Brown tells the story of being at a community pool with his family. Kids were screaming, playing, and splashing in the pool. Music was playing. The lifeguard whistles were blowing. And in the midst of the conversation, his wife shushes him. He says, "What are you doing?" "Shush! Did you hear that?" "Hear what?" he said. "Listen." And over all of the noise, she had heard their youngest daughter screaming. And as she listened to it, she then said, "Okay, everything's all right. That's a happy scream." Moms, I'm sure you've done that as well. But he said that he was blown away by that. Over all of the other voices, she not only recognized her child's voice, but was able to identify what type of scream it was. Why? Because every day she talked with them and in the process learned the sound of their voices. And then he writes, maybe that's what it takes for us to understand his voice. That everyday communication and spending time saying to God, "Speak to me." This is why it's so important to spend time in prayer. The only way you will be able to hear the voice of God is if you spend time together. Such an important principle here. Let's not miss this principle. How do we hear God's voice? How do we learn of His ways? We spend time with Him. We pray to Him. We read the Bible. We ask Him to speak to us. And as we hear His voice over and over again, we get keen to it. We know what it sounds like immediately. Even if it's over a crowd of noise in our life, even if there's other voices screaming at us, we're able to recognize the voice of God over all the others and get direction from Him. That is what we see in this passage. That is how Jesus transforms us. You see, as we communicate with Jesus in prayer and in reading the Bible and in being with Him, He trains us. As we learn from Him, we can act according to the truths He reveals to us. That's what we need to understand. He will tell us the truth, and then we will be able to act like we know the truth. When Viktor Serebrenikov was 15, his teacher told him he would never finish school and that he should drop out and learn a trade. Viktor took the advice and for the next 17 years was an itinerant doing a variety of odd jobs. He had been told he was a dunce for 17 years, so he acted like one. When he was 32, an amazing transformation took place. An evaluation revealed that he was a genius with an IQ of 161. Guess what? He started acting like a genius. Since that time, he has written books, secured a number of patents, and become a successful businessman. Perhaps the most significant event for the former dropout was his election as chairman of the International Mensa Society. The Mensa Society has only one membership qualification, an IQ of 140 or better. Now, think about that. This guy didn't know the truth. He didn't know the truth about himself. So he acted on the lie that he had been told. But as truth was revealed to him, he acted according to that truth. That's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. Before, when our minds were darkened, we acted upon the lies of this world. But now that we have the truth because Jesus is with us and talking to us, we can act on the truth. And that will completely transform our lives. It will completely transform our lives. That's exactly what God wants to do. He wants us to act on the truth that He teaches us. And finally, in verses 22 through 24, we are transformed because Jesus created a way of life that makes us look like Him. Let's read those verses again. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So Jesus has created a whole new way of life that transforms our mind, body, and spirit. The result is a lifestyle that imitates His life. A lifestyle that imitates His life. In order for this transformation to take place, there is an ongoing process. Remember at the beginning I told you that this transformation is both immediate and ongoing. So the Apostle Paul now is expressing the ongoing process that needs to happen in the lives of everyone who follows Jesus. That process is described here in these three verses. First, we must put off our old ways of life. We must put off our old ways of life. Recognize they are deceitful. Notice the word deceitful lusts. They promise fulfillment and joy, but they never deliver. They promise fulfillment and joy, but they never deliver. Let me tell you something. This world has a value system that is completely corrupt. It's different from what Jesus wants for you. And you need to recognize how deceitful this world is, how miserable and unfulfilled it will leave you if you follow its ways, because they are darkened to the truth. Second, we need to stay receptive to having our minds transformed by the truth. What we think affects what we do. So we want our thoughts to be controlled by what we learn about Jesus. Now, understand, this is an ongoing process. I need to constantly be allowing the spirit of my mind to be renewed. I've seen many Christians who think, okay, I know everything about the Bible. I have all this knowledge. I know how to relate to people, so I'm all set. I don't need to be renewed in my mind anymore. Well, you've just started the process backwards. You're going backwards at that point. Because one of the things that we need to understand is our mind needs to be constantly renewed. And we need to have enough humility to accept that our minds have to be constantly renewed and transformed. Do you ever worry? Do you ever worry? Or you're all set on worry. You never worry anymore. Hey, I worry. Why is it? Don't I know? Don't I know the truths? Don't worry. Right? Your Father in heaven has everything under control. That is a biblical truth, right? God has everything under control. He's going to work everything out for my good and His glory. That's what the Bible teaches. Why do I still worry? Because my mind still needs to be renewed. I still got to go back again to those biblical truths when worry sets in and use those truths to renew my mind, to renew my thoughts, to get those nasty old thoughts out and put the good new thoughts in. And when I act on the good new thoughts, then my actions will be right. That's what we're talking about here. Renewing our minds, okay? I don't have to make sure I get what I, quote, deserve, because Jesus said the meek shall inherit the earth. So I don't have to lie and steal to get what I want. You understand how that process works? Thirdly, embrace the new lifestyle that Jesus has created to make you look like himself. So there's this putting off of the old lifestyle, there's this renewing of our thoughts, and then being able to embrace the new lifestyle that Jesus has created for us to look like him. Put on the new man that Jesus has created so you will look like him. Put on the new man that Jesus has created so you will look like him. Now, next week, we're going to describe what that looks like, the new man. But I want you to pray and ask the Lord to help you embrace this new man. Embrace the attitudes and character traits that will make you look like Jesus. That is the process of transformation that God has for us, that Jesus has created. There he stood in the midst of the Golden Corral restaurant with Thousand Island dressing dripping from his hair, over his glasses, down his face, all over his jacket, pants, and shoes. And I'm not talking about a little bit of Thousand Island dressing. I'm talking about 2 gallons of it. What happened was that a waitress was carrying a 2-gallon container of Thousand Island dressing for the salad bar and had paused for just a second while coming through the swinging doors of the kitchen. And the doors caught her and knocked her forward, launching 2 gallons of dressing all over this guy. Well, he went ballistic. He started shouting and cursing at her. "You're so stupid! I can't believe you could be so stupid and do such a stupid thing! This is a brand new suit. It cost me $300. His wife chimed in, "Yeah, you've ruined my husband's $300 suit. And it's the first time he has had a chance to wear it." He screamed, "I want to see the manager." Thoroughly shaken, she went to get the manager, and the manager came out. Now picture this. Here's a guy with 2 gallons of Thousand Island dressing dripping from him, and the manager asks, "Is there a problem?" Oh, the guy replies, "Is there a problem? She's ruined my $300 suit. It's brand new, and I want a new suit." The manager says, "Well, we'll be glad to get your suit cleaned. Accidents do happen, and we're really sorry about this." "No, no," he said. "I don't want my suit cleaned. I want a brand new suit. And I want a check right now for $300. Well, to avoid a big scene, an even bigger scene, the manager goes back into his office, writes out a check for $300, and brings it to him. And, quote, "Justice is served." Now, tragically, this story happened on Sunday afternoon. Now, why would somebody be wearing a brand new suit on Sunday? Do you suppose he had been to church? You see, this man had a new suit, but he didn't put on a new man. He had a new suit, but he didn't put on the new man. You see, Jesus wants us to put on the new man so that when someone spills salad dressing on us, we don't act belligerent and we don't act like our rights have been violated, but we try and be a testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to put on the new man. That's what Christ wants us to do today. Put off the old ways. Remember how destitute you were before. And be willing to learn the truth of Jesus Christ and His ways by praying and asking Him for His truth. And as He renews our mind with the truths of His Word, let's embrace those and act accordingly. Act according to the truths that we have learned. Let's embrace the new man that Jesus has created for us by remembering the destitute state He delivered us from, by listening to His teachings, and by continually being receptive in our minds to the process of putting off the old thoughts and ways of life and putting on the new ways that make us look like Jesus.